The cost of following Christ is to refuse yourself, to deny the flesh, to give place to the Spirit. It's not easy. Sometimes it's a downright fight. But that's the cost. You see, there's one problem. We like sin more than we dislike the consequences.
The Christian life can be a joyful life, a blessed life, but it doesn't mean that it will be an easy life. Hi, this is Dave Dino. Today on The Tide, Pastor Dwayne Bodiger reminds us of a truth that too many of us might have forgotten. There is a price to pay for being a true follower of Jesus Christ. Now we'll begin today's message in just a few minutes, but first, let's join Pastor Dwayne Bodiger for a few opening thoughts. Dwayne, a wise old preacher once said, "Comfort is the greatest enemy of faith." So, are we as Christians more comfortable than perhaps our predecessors were?
Dave, there is no question in my mind that we are living in the most luxurious, abundant, and affluent lifestyle of any time in American history. We have more than we've ever had, and we certainly have more than we ever need. As a matter of fact, and I have said this many times over the last years, during a period of time, one of the fastest growing businesses across the country was the self-storage units. People were getting so much stuff that they had run out of space in their homes, in their own garages and sheds, and they literally had to go rent rental spaces to keep more stuff. So I believe that is numbing us spiritually to the reality of our mortality. We're living for the now, padding our pockets, building our palaces, and not living for an eternity.
What role do you think our culture has played in encouraging us to seek lives of comfort and leisure?
Well, everywhere we turn, whether it's the radio, the television, cable, billboards, movies, we are being inundated with a continual effort by the media to believe that we need something else, that one more thing, to find real happiness. And so we have this tendency to go out and buy it, believing that is the answer, that's the key, which is driving us not only to get more stuff, but to go into greater debt, which causes more anxiety. What we really need is Jesus.
You know, Christianity was never meant to be a laid-back, comfortable existence. There is a cost to following Jesus. And to tell us about that cost, here's Dwayne with today's message.
When James Calvert went to the missionary field of the cannibals in Fiji Islands, the captain tried to turn them back. The captain said, "You'll lose your lives if you go there to those savages, those cannibals." And Calvert looked back and said to the captain, "We died before we left." And that is the kind of resolve that my heart's desire, when you leave here today, that there will be a willingness to surrender your life in complete commitment to Christ, understanding that it cost Him His life, and now He calls us as His followers to lay down our lives for Him. If you do have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to 1 John. We're looking at chapter 3 today. Let's begin at verse 1 and go through, first of all, we'll go through verse 3. "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Verse 3. "Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself, just as He is pure." There is the first cost I see in chapter 3 of being a follower of Christ, the cost of pursuing personal purity. We need to deny the flesh. We need to eliminate the enticing entertainment. If you don't, friend, if you don't get rid of that enticing entertainment that stimulates the flesh, it will get tangled up in your soul and trip you, causing you to fall. Well, I read a story that in St. Petersburg, in the St. Petersburg Times, there was a story of a hungry thief. And as he was going through the market, he was trying to pickpocket or steal, and he reached over and grabbed a sausage and took off running. But there was one problem. He did not know the sausage had not been cut. And so he ran off through the market, pulling a trail of sausage behind him, which eventually got between his legs and caused him to trip. And he was easily caught by the police and arrested. When I read that story, I thought, you know what? That is so like sin. We go and we take a grab and we think we're just going to get a little bit of satisfaction, but we have no idea how long and how tangling that mess is. And in fact, it will trip us. We will get caught. Scripture calls us to be holy. And we see that in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. We see it says, be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. We realize that we're called, he says, be holy because I am holy. You know that a little sin is just as deadly as a whole lot of sin? We've got to get rid of it. We've got to ask God to cleanse us. The question that I would pose you under this point is, have you accepted the cost of pursuing personal purity? That is one of the costs of being a follower of Christ. A second cost of following Christ I see in verses 4 through 10. Let's look at those verses, verses 4 through 10. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. I see a second sign or a second cost of following Christ is the cost of forsaking all sin. Forsaking all sin. Now, obviously, as long as we have life and long as we have breath, we have the option to yield our bodies and our minds to sin. We can give ourselves to tobacco, to alcohol, to drugs. We can give ourselves to lusts and sexual immorality, flirting, teasing, touching. We can do all those things. We can do that. But one of the costs of following Christ is forsaking those options for the cause of following him. The cost of following Christ is to refuse yourself, to deny the flesh, to give place to the Spirit. It's not easy. Sometimes it's a downright fight. But that's the cost. You see, there's one problem. We like sin more than we dislike the consequences. We yield to the immediate temptation without realizing the ultimate destruction. The cost of following Christ is to deny the pleasure of sin for a season so we can spend eternity in the celestial. And so the question I would have with that point is this. Have you accepted the personal cost of forsaking all sin? A third cost of following Christ I see in verse 13. If you will, follow with me from verse 11 through verse 15. This is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. There is the third cost of being a follower of Christ. The cost of being disliked and hated by the world. It is the cost, a willingness to face embarrassment, teasing, perhaps even pain and suffering. As we look at our news and we look at what's going on not only in America but around the world, we realize that antagonism towards Christianity is incredibly increasing. I was curious this week, and so I went to my computer and I punched in the persecuted church under the website. I was amazed the amount of information that came up. As a matter of fact, I could not possibly, perhaps even in a week or more time, possibly read all of the information. Thousands, thousands of documents under the persecuted church. And under that, you can punch on those and more come up. And so then I went to the Voice of the Martyrs. And again, thousands of documents about what is happening to persecuted believers around the world. I printed just one that I happened to read just out of curiosity. Here is a story about an individual who was preaching the gospel. He was arrested by what they are calling the Mutawa, which are spiritual police in their country, Saudi Arabia. He was imprisoned and he was then tortured. His legs were chained and he was hung upside down. And while he's hanging there upside down, they literally played football with him, kicking him in the head and the sides like he was a ball hanging there on a chain. It says it continued. They kicked him in his chest and his head, continued to 2 a.m. He says that he was whipped on his back and on the soles of his feet. As he's hanging here, he's whipped on his feet by electrical wires, so much so that he can hardly walk and stand the pain, intense pain. He is being held on the account of preaching the Christianity, but there are trumped up charges against him that he's selling drugs, when in reality he's not. It says the community knows that he is an upright citizen and a strong Christian. That is one simple story among the thousands that are accessible on your website if you simply go to the Voice of the Martyrs or the Persecuted Church. Friends, I don't know how long we will have the privileges and the freedoms that we have here in America. But one thing is sure. The believer is not exempt from suffering and persecution. The very fact that we are not suffering persecution in America is no reflection on our culture. It is a reflection of our spiritual apathy as believers in America. For if we were more intense, if we took the stand for Christ that He calls us to stand for, would we not be persecuted? Maybe not imprisoned, but perhaps now even so. Maybe not abused or beaten or put to death, but we may not be far from that. But certainly we would be mocked, ridiculed, we would be scorned, we would be left alone. Friends, the question is, have you accepted the cost? Have you accepted the cost of being disliked and hated for Christ? The willingness to be disliked and hated. There is a fourth cost. It is the cost of truly loving others. And we just read that as we look through these verses through 15, but let's go on in verse 16. He says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers." One day, Francis of Assisi was riding on a horseback down the road that went by a leper hospital. He was deep in thought and not really paying attention as he was riding his horse. And all of a sudden, his horse stopped. He almost lost his position on the saddle. And he looked up, and there standing in front of him was a man cloaked in sackcloth, a rough material. And he was bald, sort of shriveled up. And he realized that, in fact, it was one of the lepers from the leper colony that he was passing. He could have chosen in that moment to demand he gets out of his way, or he could have gone around him and gone on, not being bothered. But he was touched in his heart. This was when he was still young, before he had given his life to follow the Lord, before he became such a spiritual giant that we read of today. But the story says that he saw that he was bloodstained, he was twisted, he was inert, and when he got down and took a hold of his hand, it was cold, like death was in his hand. He took a hold of that hand and he began to press a coin into that leper's hand. And as he did that, he took a hold of the hand. And the story says that he brought up that leper's hand and kissed it to show the love of God. Here's the amazing thing. The story says that Francis, when he kissed that man's hand to display the love, he began to sense such an incredible outpouring of God's Spirit on him of love, that it is said he remembered that on his deathbed. He remembered to tell the story as he was dying of the incredible sense of God's presence. When he stepped out in the flesh without any emotion, without any feelings, to do what he knew he should do to a need. And at the moment he stepped out into the water, so to speak, then the power of God and the anointing came. See, sometimes I think perhaps we wait for some kind of feeling, some kind of motivation, some side of sensation that we'll go out and do it and we'll feel like doing it. But you don't have to be a believer very long to realize he calls us to do it, and then when we obey, afterward the feelings come. We are called to the cost of truly loving others. The question I would have with that point is this: have you accepted the cost of loving others? However they may look, however they may smell, wherever they may live, or whatever they may do, have you accepted the cost of loving others? The fifth cost I see here in this passage is found in verses 17 through 20. It is the cost of giving ourselves and our possessions away. Look with me at verses 17 through 20. Verse 17. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence, whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. The cost is one of giving myself, giving my money, giving my possessions, giving my time, giving my energy for the sake of following Christ, for the sake of demonstrating his love, his kingdom to people around me. We have to remember that in this world, as believers and followers of Christ, we are not really granted the permission to pad our own pockets or to build our own palaces. We are simply stewards of what he puts into our lives. We must use what he gives us well, because it actually belongs to him. Bob Pierce said this: my single greatest concern is the growing inertia I see. Inertia born out of luxury and materialism. People are fooling themselves. Most people think that the gospel needs more clever, skilled people, when what it needs is more people who are willing to bleed, suffer, and die in their passion for Christ. Do you know that the church always grows faster when it's under persecution, when we give ourselves away? Christianity is validated by us showing our love to other people. The question I have for you under this point is, have you accepted the cost of giving yourself and your possessions away for the sake of Christ? That is one of the costs of being a follower of Christ. Let's look at one more. And this list that we're looking at today is not all inclusive, but it's just ones that I saw jump out at me in chapter 3, the costs of following Christ. I see them in verses 21 through 24. It is the cost of obeying God's commands. Look with me at verse 21 through 24. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he's commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Now he says there, he calls us and he says, this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, and to obey his commands. You see, the cost is to be obedient. The cost is to recognize that being a Christian is not about being comfortable or being convenient. It's about commitment. That's the word. For some reason, we so often think that we are entitled to provisions and blessings and ease and answers to prayer. And I mean, we just think it ought to be, well, sort of like Disneyland in America. Fun and frolicky and full of laughter. But we are called to obey. Johnny was misbehaving and he was sent to his room. After a while, he came out and he informed his mother that he had thought it over and that he had said a prayer. "Fine," the mother said. "If you ask God to help you and help you not misbehave, he will help you." And Johnny, he looked back at his mommy and he said, "Oh, mommy, I didn't ask him to help me not to misbehave." He said, "I asked him to help you to be able to put up with me." I wonder sometimes if we have that attitude. We're sometimes perhaps not asking God to change our heart and to change our lifestyle. We're somehow praying so that we can change Him, that He'll accept how we live. And that never works. God's very nature, God's very character is holiness and purity, and He calls us to the same. He calls us to obedience. We recognize that even delayed obedience is disobedience. You see, obedience is the acceptance of our responsibility before God. And so the question I have at that point is, have you accepted the cost of obeying God's commands? We've looked at 6 costs of following Christ. We've looked at 6 questions that we'd have to wrestle with. Have I been willing individually as a person to accept those costs? Or have I been living at some shallow, superficial level of Christianity, thinking I have a hope so, maybe so, salvation, when He calls us to a much deeper living? There is a great difference between being involved in a church and being a genuine believer. Lou Holtz, when he was the coach of Arkansas, he talked about the difference, and he pointed out the difference between a Christian, a genuine Christian, and just a church attender. And he said this. He said, "The kamikaze pilot who was able to fly more than one mission was involved, but he wasn't committed." You know that a true kamikaze pilot was one who was willing to dive his aircraft into a ship. And when he left his base and fly that plane, he had already made the commitment and the sacrifice was already resolved in his mind. And I have been concerned that many times people make a decision and they leave their launching pad and altar of prayer, whether it's a bedside at home or in a car somewhere or at an altar of prayer, and they leave that altar, but they've never really truly made a commitment. They went on an adventure, they went on a trip, they had an emotional relief. But the issues were not resolved. Jesus said, and Luke recorded it for us in Luke 9, 23 through 26. Jesus speaking, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever wants to lose his life for me will" what? "Save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." What we are actually dealing with today, friends, in this message, is the issue of total commitment, total surrender to Christ.
As we close today's broadcast, I'd like to go back to number 4 on Duane's list. Being a follower of Christ means being hated and disliked by the world. If everybody loves us, if the world has nothing but good things to say about us, then maybe, just maybe, we are doing something wrong. Now, for some final thoughts, let's join Duane and our director, Don Schenk, in the studio.
Duane, as you taught today about the cost of following Christ, you mentioned that the cost might seem high, but that the benefits outweigh the costs. A thought that came to me as you spoke was that perhaps some of these costs are in fact blessings. It just depends on our outlook. Any thoughts on that?
There is no doubt in my mind, Don, that the costs that we go through in life, there are 2 things I want to say about that. One, first of all, God allows them. And we need to understand that He allows them for a reason. There is a purpose. He wants us to grow as a result of them. You know, James had perspective on that in James chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. He told us we're to consider it pure joy when we face trials of many kinds. The result would be that we'd become mature. And as we see persecution or difficulties in believers' lives, they either become a stepping stone or a stumbling block. The decision is ours as to how we're going to respond. And I have often made comment that in countries around the world where believers are facing persecution, it is resulting in great growth of the Christian church. We need to recognize that when we go through difficulties, God is calling us to a greater dependence on Him.
And Dwayne, you did mention some very real costs. For example, you talked about James Calvert, who risked his life to take the gospel to the cannibals in the Fiji Islands. Those who have risked their lives in obedience to God's calling may not always see the fruits of their labors, especially those who've been martyred. But they will receive an eternal reward that's greater than anything this world can offer. A very real cost that God may call some of us to pay today is the cost of our possessions and our finances. Thanks to modern technology, we can use radio to take the gospel almost anywhere in the world. We can quite literally preach the gospel in difficult-to-reach areas and hostile environments without risking our own lives. Now, that's something many people have been helping to do through the Tide for the past 58 years. One of the countries where we're broadcasting the gospel, Papua New Guinea, used to be a dangerous place for missionaries. But where missionaries once had to risk martyrdom at the hands of cannibals, there now exists a country with total religious freedom and where almost 100% of the population has been exposed to Christianity. However, as we learn today, Dwayne, being exposed to Christianity is different than being transformed by a deeply committed relationship with Jesus Christ. There's still a great need for Christian discipleship in Papua New Guinea to help new believers grow and mature in their faith. Much of Papua New Guinea is made up of high mountains and dense forests, making travel very difficult. Under these conditions, radio has become a very vital and effective communications link. The Tide has been aired in Papua New Guinea for the past 10 years, and with your help, we can continue to offer solid Christian teaching to the people of Papua New Guinea.
58 years, 10 languages, one mission: to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the remotest parts of the earth. That's the Tide Ministry in a nutshell. And friends like you make it possible. To join us in reaching people for Christ in Papua New Guinea and all around the world, call with your donation today. Call us toll-free at 1-877-859-5484. That's 1-877-859-5484. And as always, today's program, The Cost of Following Christ, is available for a gift of any size. To receive your copy on audio cassette or CD, call and ask for lesson number 0438. The toll-free number to call is 1-877-859-5484. Or send your request to us at The Tide, P.O. Box 399, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, 17201. For information about The Tide or to hear an encore presentation of today's lesson, be sure to visit our website at www.gospeltide.org. Now, educators, television executives, Hollywood film producers, everyone has an opinion about what love is. Well, next week on The Tide, we'll see what God has to say on the subject. Until then, I'm Dave Dino, thanking you for tuning in to The Tide, a ministry that's touching hearts on shores worldwide.